Good evening. Good evening. Great to see all of you. Thank you for choosing the sanctuary over your TV screen tonight. I was watching an interview on the way home from New York today. They were interviewing Larry Fitzgerald. He's a wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals. And he was making a comment when he walked out on the field. He said, "This is my sanctuary," speaking of the football field. And he said, "This is my sanctuary. This is where I can be me," he said. "And this is where I feel the most at peace." And I think every person is looking for a sanctuary. Every person's longing for that sanctuary. And not a sanctuary where they can worship themselves, but a sanctuary where we could be in the presence of God. And the Bible says when Jesus Christ died upon the cross for our sins, that he sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit living with inside of us, any place can be your sanctuary. Whether it's your home, whether it's your job, whether you're in your car, that your car could be turned into a sanctuary. Wherever you might be, it could be turned into a sanctuary. But what do you do when your world has become so rocked and shaken by the storms of life, it seems to diminish the sanctuary and the peace that you had? As we were driving down North 35 in New Jersey, the woman that was taking me to the hospital, she never had been on this street since the storm Sandy had hit. And every house that we came to, and every time she looked over across in through her window, she just kept saying one word. She kept saying, "Wow. Wow," she said over and over again as tears filled her eyes. She kept saying, "Wow, I can't believe this has happened," she said. And there are things in our life that have come just like that. Things that you can't believe that they've just happened to you. And the devastation is so great. This woman said that I've lost my faith in Jesus. Then I asked her this question on the ride home. I said, "Well, have you ever surrendered to Jesus? Not just knowing about Jesus, but have you really surrendered to Jesus?" Because it is God's desire, all the way in the Garden of Eden, that he gave his presence to man. You remember in the Garden of Eden that it was in the cool of the day that the Bible says that God walked with man. With Adam. You remember also in, as we follow through the Exodus, that we see that God gave his presence to the nation of Israel. It was by a pillar of fire that they were led by night. It was by the cloud by day. You remember when Moses was in the presence of God, he was so much invigorated, energized by the presence of God that his face was shining, that they had to put a bag over it. You remember that when they would put up the tent of the tabernacle, that in there the presence of God would come. You remember now that as we see in the tabernacle, you remember Jesus' words when he spoke in regards to the temple. He said, "You destroy this temple, but in 3 days it will rise." Speaking of himself. Now think about the presence of God and longing for this type of sanctuary. And listen to the words of Jesus Christ before we partake of communion tonight. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. If you have your Bible, you can open there. We're going to read it out loud together because we are a smaller group tonight and we have the freedom to do that. Amen? Amen. As you're turning there, remember the context of Matthew chapter 11. That John the Baptist is so discouraged and so doubting and so troubled that he has just sent messengers to ask if Jesus was really the Messiah. Are you the one who's come? In this discouraging state, then Jesus goes on to speak in regards to cities, rebuking the cities where they've seen the great work and the great presence of the Lord. Then Jesus said, only man can see God if Jesus reveals this to them. And then he says in verse 28, read it out loud with me. This is what Jesus says. Not come to a football game. Not come to a football field. Notice this out loud together. Here we go. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Notice two things that Jesus says. He says, come and take. Come and take. Now, if you would, notice this, please, because Jesus is calling, not only calling, but he's commanding them to come and take. Take of what? Take of Jesus himself. You see, men and women, our pleasures is not in the gifts of God. Our pleasure is in the gift of God, Jesus himself. Notice what Jesus says. And I want you to circle these words. Notice, if you would, circle the word labor in your Bible. Circle the word heavy laden in your Bible. Circle the word rest in your Bible. Circle this word, if you would, learn in your Bible. Then notice this word, gentle in the Scripture. Circle the word lowly in heart in the Scripture. Then circle this word again, rest in the Scripture. Now notice this, if you would. Verse 30, if you would circle these words, or just circle this word, Jesus says, my burden is light. Jesus says two things. Two things that I just want you to leave with tonight. Two things that I want you to take home with tonight. And that is this, come and take. Notice this, come and take. And they all come from the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus has become the source. He says, come to me, all you who labor. Labor, the word labor there literally means to work yourself to the point of exhaustion. Then he says, come to me, all you who are labor and you're heavy laden. The word heavy laden means that you've been overrun with burdens in your life. Then he goes on to say these words. Notice this, I will give you rest. Twice in this portion of Scripture, he uses the word rest, which speaks of a relaxation that only Jesus can give. Then he says these words, take for my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find, notice this, rest for your souls. Deep down inside of your heart and my heart, what we want is rest for our souls. Rest for our souls. When I walked into this place, I asked God, give me rest from my soul. We were traveling all day, and then I walk into this place and we begin to worship the Lord. I'm holding my 5-year-old son Carter in my arms as I'm worshiping. He's singing in my ear these words. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. And it was a reminder to me that not only in my weakness, but in my strengths, that God is at work no matter what. Jesus says these words, I will give. I will give. If you come, if you take, I will give. All centered around the person of Jesus Christ, because he has become to us grace and truth, the Bible says. Now notice this, God placed his presence in the garden. He placed it on top of the mountain. He put it in the tabernacle. Now notice this, as the living church, he has placed his presence in you. That's something that shouldn't cause you just to be silent tonight. Maybe in a place where you find that in life that it is something where your heart, your body has become the holy place of the Lord. Now think about this for a moment. That God, the creator of the universe, the Bible says that Jesus is the invisible image of God. In him all things were created, the Bible says. Notice the God who separated the Red Sea, the God who tore down the walls of Jericho for Joshua, the God who supplied strength for Joseph and a husband for Ruth and strength for Esther to stand. This God, God the Son in the person of Jesus, he says these words to you and to me, come to me, come to me. If God can create the whole universe, can he not hold you? Then why don't we take from him? We're taking from every area and source of life. And we're taking from this sort of pleasure of money or sex outside of marriage and another relationship with another person, and we're striving for this type of pleasure in our own material gain, when Jesus says these words, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you, for it's gentle. Notice Jesus said these words, my burden is light. It's light. As we were on the street in New Jersey on the shore, they had made a berm that probably reached about 25 feet tall of sand. In the area where they had us working, they said that they didn't put the berm high enough simply because that was a tourist area and they wanted people to be able to see the beach, so they didn't have a greater wall of defense up. And so as we were ministering on the street and picking up trash and rocks and you name it, people's belongings were covered in 6 feet of sand. Luggage, clothes, stuffed animals, dishes, knives. And I was thinking about, what if this was my house and your house and houses that were pushed into each other and holes in the side of these houses that are just demolished? And as I was standing there and as we were reaching out to these people around in that area, this woman began to share a story with us about her neighbor who said that he was going to brave the storm, him and his son. So they were in the storm at that time, but they said the water began to rise so high that they began to swim down streets at Toms River in New Jersey. And as they were swimming down the streets, they were able to break through a second story window and they were able to find shelter in that area. They said they waited for 2 days. They waited for 2 days. And she said these words, they waited for one thing. They waited for a rescuer. That's all they wanted. They all wanted a rescuer. In Hesperia, California, all we're longing for and waiting for is something to rescue us. And God didn't send something, He sent someone to rescue you in the person of Jesus Christ. And in the person of Jesus Christ, we have the presence of the everlasting God within us, which gives us hope, which God says to us, come and take from me, because my burden is light. Because do you know why? Jesus bore that burden on the cross for us. So as we worship the Lord tonight, and as we continue to sing songs of worship to Him, we're going to partake of communion, but communion is a family meal. And this is dedicated to those who have been born again and washed by the Lord, those who have surrendered themselves to Jesus. In that place where you have found yourself, maybe you've come tonight in bondage to sin. You've never believed that Christ has died upon the cross for your sin. And you want to surrender and repent, meaning to turn from that sin and trust in Jesus alone for that rescuer. We want to give you that opportunity. We want you to know that Christ has given to us His body, represented in the bread you're going to partake. Christ has given to us His blood, represented in this grape juice you're going to take. All showing us and pointing us to the cross, that He is the only rescuer for our souls. Will you join me in a word of prayer tonight?